It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. Quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. I'm Dustin Hawkins with Greg Pickle. Here we got things started in quarter one, just looking at the two new commitments from the weekend, Amin Vanover and Brandon Taylor. We're going to discuss those a little further. Also get into guys Enzo Jennings and Tyler Elsdon, who committed previously in the week. We left things off last segment, which obviously if you didn't hear, you can check it out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or on the Keystone Sports app. Talking about defensive tackles and the transition and needing true defensive tackles and not these kind of project type players. And I think something just needs to be said about the last two recruiting classes in particular. Penn State really loading up on big bodies for Sean Spencer. Some are further ahead in terms of football development than others, but you look at Fatoru Mulba in this class, Vanover, Taylor, Keziah Izzard, Cole Brevard, and guys in 2019, Joseph Darkwa, Smith Vilbert. A good chunk of these guys aren't sure things when it comes to football skill, but these are some guys with some freak show potential. And I think that's why they're all here. I think you can start to see Penn State making this purposeful and getting these physical standouts. Like Joseph Darkwa, he comes from Germany, and I don't know if he can play football yet. Penn State, you know, they seem to believe that there's some potential. But just from a body standpoint, he is a really freakish looking guy. And I think Mulba from Susquehanna Township, we're recording this like, what, a minute and a half away from Susquehanna Township.
I don't
township.
Even know if it's that far. Yeah. Yeah. Good Trace McSorley deep ball might get there.
Nobody will catch it, but it'll get there. So you guys are always so negative, Greg.
Yeah.
Mulba is another, you know, if you were just to look at him in pads, you would never think that he's a two-star or a three-star. Hey. And so Penn State's getting a bunch of these guys. I guess that's a long way to put that in the last two recruiting classes in particular, Penn State is getting a bunch of these physical, these big physical guys.
Yeah, and there's a lot of teams that have won a lot of football games with guys like this. So I don't think it's the end of the world. Again, we've talked a lot about the blue chip ratio, which I guess our guy Bill Connolly now works for ESPN and not SB Nation anymore. So
probably we'll have to, harder to get on the show now.
I was going to say, yeah, we'll have to keep that in mind every time we mention his S&P rankings and also his blue chip ratio. But you know, again, if you don't remember or haven't heard about it, it says that teams with 4- and 5-star recruits are typically the only teams that have a chance to compete for conference titles and the college football playoffs. So you want to make sure you're in that category. I got a good question the other day about, you know, and it's going to go a little bit off tangent, but, you know, Penn State seems like, so the question was basically that Penn State seems like a lot of the players have confidence in what they can do, and is that justified? And I really think it is. I think these guys know that they are a part of one of the, you know, best recruiting runs this program has ever had, and because of that, the expectations are rightly high for them to answer the bell and not just be a top five recruiting class, but be a top five team on the field. And when you translate that into success, you're going to pick up the game on the recruiting trail. You know, we talked a few weeks ago about, even in this, I don't think this recent recruiting run really changes the point that the more you win, as soon as you get back on the field and win, kids are going to want to come play for you. It might be 3 stars, it might be 4 stars, it might be 5 stars, but as long as they're your top targets, that really it's all that you care about, because you know, you have to trust your evaluation. And I think the Penn State staff has earned the right to evaluate guys and offer, even if maybe other schools haven't done that yet. So it's a interesting little run that they're on here, and it's funny because it's during the quote-unquote recruiting dead period, which I don't really think that accurately reflects what happens the last couple days. But you know, these guys are all on vacation, and recruiting never ends. You know, it's social media, it's, you know, just because you can't see them face to face doesn't mean you aren't talking to them via text and phone call and direct message and all of that. So the coaches have been very busy, even though they're on vacation, and it's led to some good results. Will things slow down? I think probably so, but we'll just have to see how it all plays out.
So what do you make right now of the complexion of Penn State's class? I mentioned in the previous segment, 11 out of 16 players in the class are offensive line, defensive line, or linebackers. They're, you know, it's a real up the middle type feel right now, which I think maybe that is a part of a small part of this notion, especially when guys were decommitting, that there's a little bit of a panic, that there's not, it's not heavy on skill positions right now. So there's not, it's not real heavy on sizzle or what, however you want to put it, but it is a top 10 class on 24/7 Sports right now. The average player rating isn't the highest of James Franklin's tenure here. It's probably one of the two or three lowest, if I'm guessing. But I'm just looking back through, you know, right now in the 247 rankings, I'm guessing there's seven or eight schools that have a higher average player rating than Penn State that are sit behind them in the rankings right now.
Right.
So the number 10 ranking is probably gonna fall a bit. But what I would say about that, I guess, is number one, if they have a big year, they're going to be closing hard down the stretch. I think that needs to be said. I also think in the 2019 recruiting rankings, again, kind of depends on how many kids you take, but this class would slot in there somewhere 16, 17, 18, just to give you an idea of where it could potentially be going if right. It stays the same now. But I do think that that average player rating with the targets that they have left and with the potential to really show and prove a few things on the field, I think that average player rating is actually going to improve.
Yeah, I would think so too. And again, once they get back on the field and can show kids that may have questions what can be accomplished this fall, assuming they accomplish the things they think they're going to accomplish, it makes the non-conference schedule, I think, really big, because you always get kids in for official visits to games like the Michigan game, where, you know, for better or for worse, you're always going to have a big crowd that day. And sometimes you're going to walk out of that, you know, you could walk out of it with a loss. You could walk out of it with a win. No matter what, kids don't really think about wins and losses on their visit. They think about the environment and the experience they had. But if you win early, you might be able to set yourself up for some visits late that you weren't expecting. And the timing of that Michigan game actually works pretty well in that regard. And then for some later games on the home slate too. So I think that's a good thing. And then as it relates to the player rating, you know, I agree with you that is almost certainly going to rise because, again, the targets left on Penn, as long as they land the guys left on the board, of course, obviously that's always the qualifier, but the guys left on the board, you're talking a lot of four-stars who just want to wait and make a decision, especially running back. They could get two four-star running backs in this class if they really push for them. Now, I don't think that's going to be the case, but, you know, they have some guys on that board at a number of positions, running back being one of them, that are four-stars and have the potential to be five-stars maybe way down the road. So we'll have to wait and see, but, you know, one other point I'd make is that the opening is this week in Dallas, Texas, and I don't know if Penn State gets a commitment for anyone deciding there. I think Parker Washington, the three-star receiver from Texas, is making his choice down there, and Penn State's in decent shape with him, so we'll have to wait and see how that works out. But, I do think that, you know, the average rating of these guys will continue to go up because I think there's some risers in this group, just like Grant Tutant, who obviously not a part of that conversation anymore once he flipped to Ohio State. But I think there's guys like him in this class that could see their rating go up after this sort of summer camp cycle ends with the opening and then the senior seasons begin.
Yeah, so there'll be another evaluation at the end of the summer. Correct me if I'm wrong on this. At the end of the summer and then after the season itself.
I don't want to speak in the specifics because obviously all the recruiting sites do their own things a little bit differently. But you typically get a re-rank after the – so the Rivals 5-Star Challenge is over now, I believe, and the opening is about to be done. So you'll get a late July, early August re-ranking, and then you'll get one. Typically, it's right around the first signing period, December. And then you might get a final one in February before that one too. So yeah, you're probably talking about three more ranking opportunities to come for guys to either rise or fall.
And we'll get into, I want to save some of the targets left on the board. We're going to talk about just the cycle as a whole and how all this developed. And part of how the cycle develops is how the next 3-4 months are going to go. So we'll discuss some of those targets in just a moment. I did want to touch on Enzo Jennings. I'm sure the guys on Thursday, Ross and Andy and Bob, talked about these guys. But Enzo Jennings is an interesting player because, you know, as Alan True from 24/7 Sports pointed out, he's been around for a long time, has drawn college interest for a long time, has played a lot of good football. He tests well. This is one of those kids that you know, we mentioned along the defensive line, some of these projects that are going to take 2 or 3 years to pay off. He, He should be able to play pretty early in his career. He looks to be a pretty good cornerback, a good athlete. He is right now the top-rated player in Penn State's class. Penn State would do well if that doesn't end up being the case come December and then come February. But Jennings is a really good player, and he's a four-star for a reason. He's big time in every sense of the word.
Yeah, and he is now at the opening. So he's a guy that will, again, have the chance to up his rating while he's down there competing against some of the nation's other top recruiting talent. So it'll be good to watch and see what works out with him while he's down there in Texas. So, yeah, I mean, again, he's a guy that maybe we didn't see him deciding quite when he wanted to pull the trigger, but when you go back and look at it, Penn State was kind of the leader all the way. It seemed like, even though maybe that was a quiet thing, and sometimes that's actually, you know, we've seen it work against Penn State with recruits who we thought Penn State was in front the whole way, and then when it ultimately comes down to it, you know, the kid ends up somewhere that's not Penn State, and it comes like a big surprise. But this was almost the opposite of that, where, you know, you thought Penn State was in front, but you knew there were some other schools in the race. And I'll just say this, Penn State's done a nice job recruiting Michigan. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a ton. I mean, it's funny because, you know, there's a lot of freak out when Penn State loses the Pennsylvania kid. Well, Michigan has Michigan and Michigan State, and they're losing kids to Penn State, it seems, every class. So I guess maybe that's some perspective to the idea of recruiting your home state, and sometimes things just work in your favor.
Let me get your thoughts on Tyler Elsdon, the linebacker from North Schuylkill. My prevailing thought here is that your objective when you're recruiting, you're not necessarily looking for 25 stars, right? So Tyler Elsdon strikes me as a guy who can be, who can up the competition in the linebacker room, can be that rock in the middle. He's not an elite athlete, but he's a pretty punishing linebacker who fits that linebacker U mold. I'm not sure if they think that they can increase his physical skills a little bit, but to me, he kind of is who he is. The only thing missing from his game film was a old school neck roll. He fits right in with that middle linebacker tradition, but he's not going to jump off the film at you as an elite athlete. But if they can get one or two years of like Jan Johnson type production from him, I think he's worth the commitment.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this, not on the radio, but on one of the multiple places you can find the KSN.
I'm glad you said something, Greg. Have you checked on Spotify?
I have, actually. Anyway, the first segment, I got to be quick on this, but the first segment we talked about the analytics of recruiting. Tyler Elsdon's a perfect example of when that works out of the camp. He tested really well. Penn State loved his development, and they offered him, and he committed.
So we'll talk much more about this 2020 cycle and probably circle back to Elsdon and some of these others in just a moment, looking at the cycle as a whole.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.